Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, broadcasting from Sydney, Australia, on the Logos Radio Network, and of course available from our website via podcast at truthnews.com.au. And we usually put the podcasts up within about 24 hours of the show. Truth News is a show that is inspired by, you know, many other people around the world who are getting out there and doing citizen journalism, who are providing an alternative voice. And we collectively, all of us out there who are doing that, are changing the world, I believe. I really do believe that we've had a massive impact. Of course, the powers that be won't acknowledge that. But, you know, if you look at what's going on, and I'll just give you one example of it. At the time when the Australian government was heavily promoting its internet filter, which was quite a draconian measure, which was going to put a secret blacklist on the internet, which would prevent so-called, you know, bad content from being reachable by users. There was a massive response to that from the blogosphere, and there were all these little groups that started up. There were all these people, and of course, it wasn't that visible from the mainstream media, and it didn't really stop anything the government was trying to do. But the government was very aware of it, and you know, if that had been another type of scenario, you know, back in the days when we didn't have the internet, it wouldn't have had that effect, because we wouldn't have just known that there was this massive movement of opposition. People are not very keen to go out and kind of march in the street, but they, in the case of that internet filter, people were joining groups, they were getting ready, and they were getting wound up. And of course, their ability to communicate with each other was giving them more confidence. And the government backed off, and I believe they backed off largely because they knew that they had a massive fight on their hands about that. In regard to the carbon tax, another extremely unpopular measure, the government did a kind of a double maneuver where they actually they appeared to back off, and then they tricked us, and then they moved forward again. But that again was in response to the fact that they knew that they were in trouble back with Kevin Rudd. Back in 2010, they knew they were in big trouble with their emissions trading scheme, and then they created the illusion that they were dumping that to get the government voted back in, and then, of course, they double-crossed us. But they are aware of what we're doing, and I just would really hope that people do not lose faith in that and do not become so cynical that they think that there is just this monolithic power out there that controls anything, that we are powerless. That is absolutely not true. And there is a big psychological problem you've got to get over if you think like that, because that psychological state will actually create its own reality. If you think you are powerless, then you surely will be powerless. If you want to have power, you first got to believe you can have power. Now, we've got Damon Crowe on the line. Damon Crowe, of course, CEO of a telco here, helped set us up here with the free call-in number, which, again, I would really like to hear from you. We haven't had too many call-ins, so I would really like to encourage you, if you're listening, don't be shy. Call us. If you're in Australia, call us on 1300 153 372. Damon Crowe is our sponsor, making that number possible. If you're in the US, you're on 512-646-1984. Now, just getting back into this question of the power elite, or those who would rule over us, and what their psychological state is, which we were getting into in the last segment. And Damon, you made the point, which is that, you know, maybe it's not the system or the structure. Maybe it really is that there is some problem inside people, inside the psychology of people. Continue with that, if you can. I mean,
yeah, so the modern era really is suffering from an epidemic level of narcissistic personality disorder. And if people haven't researched that, I suggest that they do. It's an illness that you're not born with. It's an illness that you develop habitually, pathologically, from childhood to when you reach adulthood. And a lot of the people at the top of this pyramid-based structure have narcissistic personality disorder traits. And if you go through their traits, you can see how they operate. And a clear example of someone that is suffering from this disorder would be someone like Craig Thompson in Australia, who stood up and lied in front of the Australian Parliament and all of the Australian people, and did it in such a manner that he looked like he believed his own BS, as it were.
Yeah, it was incredible. And as I mentioned in the last hour, you know, Craig Thompson is probably not a name that's known outside of Australia. And for those listening overseas, I suggest put the name into Google. We'll have the show notes up on our podcast. But, you know, it's still a really important example of this type of phenomenon. And we surely see it all over the world. We see it in every major society today. And, you know, one thing that is really interesting about the Craig Thompson saga to me, Damon, is that, you know, it's almost a Shakespearean kind of situation. I mean, if Shakespeare was around, you'd write a tragedy or maybe a comedy. I don't know, but it would be one heck of a play. And what makes it so poignant, though, right, is that this one man, he's like, you've got this rotten government, right? It's like a structure that's all infested with white ants, and it's just ready to collapse. And the whole thing's being held up by this one rotten pillar. And this one rotten pillar is Craig Thompson. And the government knows that this rotten pillar is the only thing that's holding them up. And they actually are doing everything they can to stop him from being kicked out from under them, even though they know what they're supporting on is the most corrupted, you know, pile of just vermin-infested rubbish.
But is that necessarily true?
You can imagine.
Damon, is that necessarily true? I mean, visiting prostitutes is not illegal in New South Wales. I mean, he hasn't committed a crime, as far as I'm aware.
No. Let me run through the traits of what a narcissistic personality disorder is. First of all, they are hopelessly delusional. They are completely self-absorbed, lack empathy to the point that they're actually quite often very, very nasty and quite often can be excessively cruel. They're pathological liars. They've betrayed themselves and betray other people. They're energy suckers. They suck energy from people, and once they look for the good-natured people. So that the big mistake society makes is that when people stand up and talk and behave, they think that good-natured people think that other people are like them, and they're not wired like good-natured people at all. And good-natured people are the people that's on their radar to be their victim. And so I'm not worried about what he's actually done or whether it's criminal or not. I'm worried about the fact that this guy is pathologically lying to the people about what he's done. He'll make himself out to be the victim, even though the evidence, I mean, the findings, you know, there's over 100 factual findings of breaches of criminality from essentially he's laundered over $500,000 worth of money from a union that was to support essentially low-paid hospital workers.
Yes.
And he's made himself to be the victim, even though he's the perpetrator of the crime. These people are very, very dangerous when they get in positions of power because they you can never get the truth out of these people. These people have got no empathy for anybody, including themselves. They basically betray in the entire society, and these narcissistic personality disorder types are everywhere. The Clintons, I mean, just go through the top people who are running the world, and they've all got some degrees of narcissism, you know, from mild right through to being completely demonic, which I think is the upper scale of it.
Sure, but I mean, we're on public radio. I mean, there's legal issues. We can't. I mean. What I'm saying is, I mean, I've been out of town, so I haven't followed the Craig Thompson thing. But a few months ago, I just wondered, you know, sure, what he's done is scandalous. So I guess it's some more things have come to light, have they?
Yeah, Dan, you've been a little out of the loop. So basically, it's pretty scandalous what has happened on several levels. I mean, first of all, there's the fact that you have this sitting MP. Who, you know, I mean, we're paying for his salary as well. We, the taxpayers, are funding his job, okay? and he's been misbehaving. Okay, that's one thing. But when he was the head of the HSU, this is years ago, it was determined that he was doing this.
Sure, but I mean, there's kind of like, I'm a bit suspicious because I mean, there's been like right wing Liberal Party propaganda against the nefarious doings of union leaders for decades, and I mean, you know, some union leaders have been naughty, I'll grant you, but I mean, their naughtiness has is nothing like the scale of theft that, you know, these vast corporations steal. Like, I mean,
I'll grant you just on one point there, Dan. I'll grant you, I don't personally care if he went to see prostitutes. I don't care, but that is not the point. See, that is actually a misunderstanding of what this is all about. It's just that is the most lurid aspect of it, and that is the aspect of it that gets the headlines because everyone goes, "Oh, prostitutes." The point here is that he fraudulently used union funds paid by low-paid workers it's not just prostitutes either, I might add. It's part of it is the prostitutes. Part of it is the cash advances, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cash advances, which are unaccounted for, and $200,000 to fund his own election campaign. This is just straight out crooked behavior. This is not sort of just moral things we frown upon. This is just straight out criminal crooked behavior. And but I might add that unions are not exempt from that. Unions are large, powerful organizations, and unions have been guilty of crooked behavior other organizations have been in the past.
Indeed, but I mean, I'm just saying people are always talking about, you know, the bad union leaders as a kind of like it's symptomatic of leftist, you know, kind of social liberal thinking that it leads to toleration of evil unionism. But I mean, you know, like, you know, British Aerospace, you know, owns Tenex, and it gets, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year out of the Australian taxpayer. And it's a company in Britain. And, you know, if you look into like all the scandals that British Aerospace has been involved in the past, you know the whole affair with all the providing, you know, arms to the Middle East and all this, you know, and bribing officials in the Middle East. You know, we're talking vast amounts of money that are so much larger than, you know, some little union in New South Wales. I mean,
good point.
I don't think this is a left-right thing.
Yeah.
This isn't a, you know, unions versus right corporate greed. It's, I don't think it's got anything to do with the left-right paradigm at all. This is just the fact that a particular trait of individuals seem to be disproportionately present at the top end of the pyramid.
We're just going to break, Damon. Sorry to cut you off again. I'll let you continue with that as soon as we come back with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Hereward Fenton. I'm here with my guest today, Damon Crowe, who runs a telco here in Australia, and Dan Collins, a longtime associate of this program. And we are talking about this psychological quirk that seems to infest our society, and particularly the strata of our leaders. And Damon, you calling it a delusional narcissistic psychosis, I believe. And, you know, boy, I can tell you, anyone who watched that video of Craig Thompson speaking in front of Parliament, he went on for a whole hour. I only watched the highlights of it, but it was really enough to make you want to just, you know, run for the toilet. It was so bad. The guy just, you know, his mouth was all contorting, like he was trying to cry, and he almost cried, but then he just had these horrible mouth contortions, and everything he said just, like, he didn't really add up. You know, it was just from a gut level, it was quite apparent that he was lying. But I mean, you can't prove that by what he said, but everything else that's come out indicates that he was lying. And the fact that, you know, someone will so brazenly lie to that level really does, we've really got to look at it. So, yeah, if you want to just, continue there, Damon, exploring that.
Yeah, the point I was trying to make is that if you're not aware of what narcissism is and narcissistic personality disorder is, it means you could be on the receiving end and you could be used by these people. So people that watch Craig Thompson and then respond and write editorial pieces the next day that say, oh, look, I retract back everything I've ever said about Craig. It was such a heartfelt speech and blah, blah, blah. Are people that clearly don't understand how good these people are at lying and deceiving and manipulating. And once you understand what this condition is and the people, you can then look at the people that have got this type of condition, and then you're better equipped to be able to identify these people and expose these people. So it's really part of this awakening that is going on at the moment, this conscious awakening of people who are finding out, you know, what's really going on in society and what these people really are. These people are very, very dangerous people. And if you're aware of how their behavioural traits are, and I was never aware of narcissistic personality disorder until I had a personal run-in and caused me an enormous amount of grief. And then I studied it diffusely for a long period of time and analysed it. And now I can spot them. And now that I can spot them, it allows me, it's easier for me to be able to, first of all, identify them, understand how they operate, and then it leaves me in a better position to deal with them. But by the way, if you've got somebody who you have to deal with as a loved one or a family member or someone you're working with who suffers from narcissism, the bottom line is you have to avoid them. There's no way of changing them or dealing with them or any of that sort of stuff. You just have to avoid them at all costs. But when these people are running your country or, you know, I mean, Craig is not a lone soldier here. You would find people within his party that are significantly worse than him. And as you go up this pyramid structure, because, you know, clearly these governments are serving a higher order inside the pyramid, they're in epidemic levels at the very, very top. And if people are aware of this, then it allows you to deal with it. But when you're not aware of it, when you're naive, and you allow this behaviour to go on, you end up being the victim because of your own ignorance, because of your own naivety. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is get people to be aware of what's going on so that people can see who these people really are.
Yeah, and of course it's been shown that police, you know, lie constantly. It's been exposed many times. You know, Mick Kilty, the police commissioner, lied on television when he said that we have little evidence to suggest that passengers are being used as drug couriers in Australia. He said that when he knew full well that it was happening and there'd been extensive reports on it. And he said that on live television, and it had a huge impact. It was so devastating. It was so devastating for Schapelle Corby. You know, it destroyed her life. But all the other effects and ramifications are incalculable. When you let someone like that to that level of power and influence, and then they lie, it is so devastating for society.
Right, and good-natured people can't possibly comprehend that someone could lie to that level or have that level of lack of empathy for another human. They can't comprehend it. So at a subconscious level, they believe these people and they are manipulated by these people due to their own naivety. And that's the point that I'm saying. I was one of those people and I got seriously damaged by somebody who could use you like that. But people can't comprehend that Craig Thompson or any of these people could get up and just lie at that sort of level. And these people could beat a lie detector. These people believe their own BS. That's the sick level of mental illness we're talking about here. These people are very, very sick.
Do you think there's also another class of people, Damon, who are maybe they're not necessarily narcissistic, but they have some sort of codependency disorder that makes them go along with the lies that are told by these people? Because a lot of people go along with the lies and we know that they know better. Because, I mean, we're talking about people fairly well informed who would know, for example, that what we've been told about climate change is not correct. That what we've been told about the safety of genetically modified foods is not correct. That what the US government told us about 9/11 is not correct. The list is very long, and you know many of the subjects that we covered on this show there is significant public domain information that people in government would be aware of. At least to the point of saying, look, you know, there is considerable dispute or controversy over this subject, but then they just lie and they say, no, we know 100%. This it was like this, and we don't allow any other viewpoint, or they just actively, you know, support a lie. But I mean, are they all narcissistic, or are they somehow at maybe a lesser level collaborating in a lie? What do you think?
Well, everybody has some degree of narcissism, and so we're only talking about degrees or shades of grey here. So you're correct. Some people, you know, everybody has a certain level of being self-absorbed, a certain level of narcissism. It's just when you get to the really pathological sort of levels that it becomes very, very dangerous. And so some people, as you say, display certain traits, and I agree that certainly the ruling elite know how to control someone's personality from the subconscious ego. They're experts at that, and they can get people to believe in. I mean, you only have to go and engage with people in your family and friends that are just completely brainwashed and zombie-like in their view of reality and any certain topics such as climate change and any of those things, and you realise that just the extent in which we're all being brainwashed and we've all got some sort of subconscious conditioning that has occurred to us since the moment of childhood right through our adult years. And it's only when you start getting a degree of self-awareness yourself that you then start to realise and become aware of other people and how they are. But most people have no self-awareness at all, and most people are walking around in some sort of zombie trance and are largely being conditioned by society at a subconscious level, so their conscious is not aware of it, and they have fixed views about how the world works. And when you go and tell them that, say, for instance, 9/11 happened or anything outside their belief structure that has been subconsciously woven into their fabric from the moment they came into this planet, they display the most strangest behaviour. They'll normally get quite violent. When you start telling them that that the world isn't like that, and you start presenting the irrefutable facts about a subject, will just display the most irrational behaviour you've ever seen.
But of course, there is an element here where these people have most people have this vulnerability in that they can be easily led. Because we were told certain things about 9/11. Now, but, you know, for example, we were also told that back when the Russians were having a spate of terrorism, and I remember I heard this on the news, they said, oh, we think it might be the Russian government engaging in this, you know, false flag thing. So we'll be told that the Russians might have engaged in false flag. We heard it in the news that the Syrians might have bombed their own police building, and we'll believe that. But then we'll be told that 9/11 was done by external terrorists, and then anyone who questions that is told they're insane. So basically, we will be led and informed by someone who we would grant authority to tell us.
Yeah.
And we are going to break again. We'll be right back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I've got some more news in the next segment. Please stay with us.
The man who stole the water will swim forevermore, but he'll never reach the land on that golden shore. That faint white light will haunt his heart till his only memory lost in the dark. Dig a hole in the ground, straight down to hell, till there ain't no more water in the well, well, well. When you're down on your knees with nothing left to sell, won't you try digging a little deeper in the well, well, well. Say well, well, well.
You're listening to Truth News. Welcome back. I'm talking to Damon Crowe about this weird, twisted, corrupted state of mind that seems to infest the halls of power. And there is this observation we have that people, there are the people with the severe personality disorders who are, you know, capable of telling the most incredible lies, and they'll do it, you know, convincingly. They seem to be actually deeply immersed in the illusion. And the type of personality disorder that this goes with, as Damon pointed out, the narcissistic personality disorder, also pure psychopathy, is another one. It's a different type in terms of the way these things have been classified. Psychopaths have a lot in common with narcissists, but in my understanding and research of that, the psychopath tends to be also driven by a well of rage inside and a real desire to dominate and control, and some sort of deep anger that's been kind of almost detached from them, so that it becomes like a force that they just cannot control, that dictates what they do. But then that type of personality, when it gets into power, can be the worst, your worst nightmare. And I pointed out in some articles that I wrote recently, I mean, there was this story from the US that's up on Truth News about a homeless man who was savagely beaten to death by a group of police in the US in Florida. And the entire video was captured on security, and the audio was also captured, and you can actually watch it. It's all up on Truth News. Boy, you know, it's a window into the kind of disordered state of people who get into these positions of power. Have you actually seen that video, Damon? You know the one I'm talking about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, the story there is this homeless man was approached by the police. And, you know, they just like they normally do, just asking him for ID and name. And he was mentally ill, and he said some things that didn't make a lot of sense. And he said he came from Afghanistan or something. And he's whatever he said, it didn't quite add up. The police just started to get really, really annoyed. And you can watch in the video the policeman who actually, you know, led the attack that killed him was standing there kind of twirling his baton for a while, and he's just getting more and more pissed off, you know. And like at a certain point he says, he puts on latex gloves and he says, you see these fists? And the guy says, yeah. And he says, they're about to F you up. And you know, the guy that they're talking to is completely harmless. Like, he's just standing there. He's not opposing them. He's not trying to run away. He's not doing anything. And then the guy just lays into him. He just bashes the absolute daylights out of this guy. And the guy's like calling out and saying, dude, I'm sorry, dude. And they just keep punching, and they sit on him, they crush him, they squeeze him. There's photographs of his face. It's all blown up and bloated and black from what they did to him. And there's this giant pool of blood underneath. And you know, there's people watching all around. There's people passers-by watching. You know, no one intervenes. And, you know, after about 10 minutes, the guy's practically dead. An ambulance comes, and the ambulance comes and tends to the policeman who's got a scratch on his wrist. And they don't even tell the ambulance that there's a guy half dead in the gutter that they just beat to death. The ambulance people didn't even know that there was this guy there. Anyway,
insurance.
Well, it turned out his dad was a cop. This is the only reason why this story came out. So this guy was taken to hospital. He died 5 days later. His brain was destroyed. I mean, they killed him, but it took him 5 days to die. And now, after I think 2 years, it's finally going to trial. The policeman concerned has now been charged with second-degree murder. There were at least six of them involved, but only one policeman has been charged. And the only reason that happened is because it turns out the father of the guy they beat up was a cop. But what, again, you see the incredible brazen lying of the police when he said, oh, you know, I had to do this. The guy was resisting. We were just following normal procedure. And this is what they say. This is the kind of lies they give you. Actually, this was psychopathic rage. This was like, and you can watch it. You see it. You see this well of demonic hatred.
But there could be something
coming out of these people that they just have decided they're going to. It's like almost like a sacrifice.
But you don't know what lies are within. Like, I mean,
yeah.
If the cops had been told earlier that someone had seen this guy, you know, attacking little kids in the park, if they got, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, that, a lot of that could have been explained by they themselves had been lied to. I mean, if you met Hitler, you know, in Chile, you know, you'd beat him to death, wouldn't you?
Well, indeed. But see, Dan, this is the type of stories that they make up to defend themselves. But the problem they've got now with modern technology is the whole thing was captured, including the initial interaction with the guy. And you could tell it was just a normal interaction. It wasn't like that. It was just like he was walking by, and they stopped him, and then they're just asking him questions, and then they say something like that. You know, we get a bit sick of seeing you. We've seen you here a couple of times before. You know, and we get sick of people like you wandering around. They don't have any excuse like that because the whole thing was captured. So
perhaps I know, but I'm just saying. You know, there's lies within lies, and I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if you were like in Chile and you saw this old guy and somebody told you it was Adolf Hitler, you say, well, I'll just beat him up and, you know, I won't care. I won't hesitate.
In this case, you know, there is no, that's not even being used as a defense. Basically what they're doing is what they usually get away with when there's not a cop involved. They usually get away with saying, we just followed normal procedure. The guy was being violent. He was trying to resist us. Yeah. They've got away with that hundreds of times before, and they'll get away with it 100 times again. This is the one in a million case where they don't get away with it, but it's only one guy being charged, and he might even get off. We don't even know. But,
they've taken away habeas corpus, Magna Carta. I mean, their futuristic view of where they're going to take us to was this Hunger Games futuristic technocracy where we have no empathy for a fellow mankind. And if you go back through the leaders over recent times, Hitler, Obama, Bush, Clinton, Blair, Gillard, they're all compulsive liars. They're all suffering from these extreme narcissistic type tendencies of compulsive lying. Look at the lying that Bush and Clinton and Blair get up to, and Obama, this bold-faced lying. And they, if you have a look at this futuristic position where the Hunger Games was, it was a bad movie, really, in all respects, really, if this is where we're going to, is that we have these narcissistic personalities running reality games where we are just completely self-absorbed, lacking empathy, living this delusional fantasy world with no connection to reality whatsoever. I mean, we even, all the games that the kids play today have no connection to reality. They all live in this virtual world that has no reality to it. We're all becoming, to a certain degree, completely delusional, and we're losing empathy and connection to other people. People can walk past people literally bleeding in the gutter. That's the conditioning we're getting to.
Actually, let's talk about that movie for a second, because I was absolutely gobsmacked that the movie actually put forward within the dystopia, which there's been many movies like it before, but the movie had a variant on that in which the hero of the movie, which is this teenage girl, and the movie has been pitched as a teenager's movie, right? So, and it will have been watched by hundreds of millions of people. But the movie sort of pitched this idea that this teenage girl is a hero because she played along with this evil narcissistic human sacrifice right to the end and killed all these people for other people's entertainment. And she gets right through it all, no rebellion, no paroxysm at the end, right? No catharsis. No, the whole system continues. She went along with it and she won, and we're supposed to get some... What do we get from that? I don't understand what that movie is actually doing to people psychologically. I found it incredibly disturbing, and I couldn't believe it. I forced myself to watch it all the way through because I wanted to know what was going to happen at the end. And I started to get this sort of chills up my spine when I realized, my God, they're actually going to run with this right through and turn her into a hero so that she is someone we would emulate, someone who just plays along with this utterly evil system.
Exactly.
I was just shocked by that, mate.
The right word.
That's
people like this movie is very disturbing.
Yeah, it really is a sign of the times. When you get something like that going into mass entertainment, and this is much worse than anything like Schwarzenegger's, Running Man. This is, you might say that had some bad messages in it. This is way worse. Way, way worse.
It can't help but feeling this is some sort of preconditioning to accept that this is the future that we're going towards, and we can't do anything about it.
Exactly. We're going to break with Truth News Radio Australia. We're back for one more segment. Please stay with us.
Sick of the lies, deception, spin and half-truths? Well, so are we. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Tune in every week at truthnews.com.au or subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favourite podcatcher.
Back, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. We've been covering a lot of ground today. In the last segment, I want to return to Chappelle Corby, who I mentioned in the beginning of the show. Chappelle Corby, the lady who was wrongly convicted, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many around the world, for bringing 4.2 kilograms of marijuana into Bali from Australia in 2004. Now, she was sentenced to 20 years. She has now had a sentence reduction, and with the possibility of parole, she may come out. But really, the release of Chappelle Corby is only going to be the first stage of a new wave of uproar about the whole case, because the Australian government is deeply implicated in her case. The Australian government covered up information it knew about drug courier rings operating within airports in Australia. Her family has never accepted her guilt. Chappelle has never accepted her guilt. There was no forensics to connect her to the evidence. They never showed where it came from. They never showed how she got it. They never showed who she was going to sell it to. They had nothing except it was in her bag, you know, a prima facie evidence. But I want to play here a clip from the ABC which kind of summarizes the current state of affairs for Chappelle Corby. So I'll just kick off this video here from the ABC. It's an Australian television network.
Well, 4 kilos of marijuana, a boogie board and barley. The combination added up to 20 years in jail for convicted drug smuggler Chappelle Corby. Now that sentence has been cut by 5 years after Indonesia's president granted a plea for clemency. That means she could be released by 2015 or even earlier. Chappelle Corby's family has welcomed the news, but questions are being raised about what deals were done behind closed doors. The decision follows the release of 3 young Indonesians held in Australia for people smuggling. Foreign Minister Bob Carr says there's no link, but as Tracy Bowden reports, human rights activists aren't convinced.
May 23rd, 2005. It was an emotion-charged scene, the most compelling chapter in the saga of Chappelle Corby, played out live across the region. The Queenslander was sentenced to 20 years jail for drug smuggling. Now, almost 7 years to the day, news that the sentence has been slashed.
Our family is grateful to the Indonesian president, and we now hope to get more information about a possible clemency, and our family hopes that we'll have more positive news in the near future.
We just hope that she will be home in July, August this year. We just hope, but as I say, you know as much as I.
Indonesian government ministers say the decision was part of a reciprocal arrangement with Australia involving lenient treatment for young Indonesians held here on people smuggling charges.
I'll just leave it there. The interesting point about this is that the Indonesians are saying that they're basically going to let Chappelle out because Australia has agreed to let out these minors who are being kept in prisons in Australia. And it's an indication, again, it shows you really the dirty side of our government, because these kids that have been locked up here are, you know, they're on boats that were bringing people here as part of what they call people smuggling. Now, really, these are just refugee boats. These are people who've paid to come to Australia as refugees. And because Australia is a signatory to the international treaties on refugees, basically, it is completely legal for people to come here. But the government prosecutes those who bring them here. And, of course, that is in itself a sick little game that they play. The number of people who come to Australia as refugees is trivially and insignificant compared to the immigration that comes through other channels. It is not a big burden on the country. But the government's been regularly locking up these people who bring the people smugglers here, and they get locked up for years. I mean, it's almost in many ways as bad as what happens to Chappelle Corby. It really is. And they lock up minors, small children, but then the government makes claims that these are not actually children, and they use this bogus, discredited, really insulting technique to prove that these are not children by taking x-rays of their hands and wrists, which they say proves that they are not minors. What's your take on this, Dan?
Well, I, as I say, just recently coming back from Greece, I mean, there's been some discussion in Greece about the large numbers of illegal refugees that make their way to Southern Europe, undocumented, and there's great numbers of undocumented Africans and Arabs and Central Asians in Europe, and there's a lot of discussion about it. It seems to me like, the Europeans seem a bit more tolerant of refugees. There are lots of refugees, lots of foreign, people of foreign extraction in Australia, but as legal immigrants. But
it seems to me that our government and both parties are similar. They just play little games for political advantage over the way they treat refugees.
This bidding war of,
Yeah, bidding war of zero tolerance. Yeah, who could be tougher?
Yeah, I frankly find that disturbing. I don't, so many of the Tamils, Tamils fleeing from what is actually a war of genocide in northern Sri Lanka, and they make their way to Malaysia, and some of them, desperately spend their last few dollars on a boat, which is going to take them to Australia. And there doesn't seem to be any understanding of their plight on the part of the Australian government. You just get this kind of rigid, this rigid police policy. I mean, these people are, queue jumpers, or these people are criminals, or these. Yeah. Mm. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any understanding of their situation. I mean, the collapse of the Tamil state in northern Sri Lanka, and the ensuing, murders. I mean, these people, are desperate. Okay, they had a few bucks. They paid a people smuggler. But what were they going to do? They're going to get,
I agree. I mean, as I see it, it's part of an imperial sort of attitude that we have. It's incredibly superior attitude. I heard Bob Carr saying, "Oh, there was no deal struck with the Indonesians. We would never do a deal." And then he said, "We would never keep miners." He sort of denied everything. He denied that what we're doing. He denied that he'd done any deals with the Indonesians. This looks to me like what we were talking about earlier. This is a kind of a narcissistic trait in our leaders, that they just deny things just to make themselves look good. And it's for that trivial reason quite often. It's not always some dark, deep conspiracy. These people are compulsive liars.
But there's also a schizophrenia. You have to notice there's a real schizophrenia to these sorts of things, because at the same time, take the American situation. There's people in the states, the southern states of the U.S., who want razor wire, and they want to get tough on, they want to get, patrols, and they want to get tough on illegal immigrants. And at the same time, the United States, agriculture wouldn't function without Mexicans. And, at the same time, Obama's trying to implement legislation to offer U.S. citizenship to people who'd been, to immigrants who'd been, imported illegally and, forced to work in sweatshops. And
yeah.
And, Australian, fruit growers can't find people to pick their fruit.
Yeah, yeah.
And, Australia's a vast country. It's five, it's enormous, 5,000 kilometers long. I mean, something like that. It'll take you 5 days to drive across the country, It's this vast empty space. I mean, why are we worried about some people coming here?
Our relationship with our neighbours has been really strained by the sort of policies that our governments have adopted. And our relationship with Indonesia was very rocky. And many people think that this has something to do with why the Indonesians have been holding on to Chappelle for so long. And the fact that the Indonesians are now willing to let go of Chappelle as a part of almost like a prisoner exchange program, this actually, again, hints that this was what it was always about, that the Indonesians knew, just as our government knew, that she wasn't guilty, but they were hanging on to her as a way of showing their power to us. Because, and we'll really probably have to go in and do a whole nother show on this, but the the Australian government had fallen into really bad favour with the Indonesians up and including the time that Chappelle was arrested. Largely because of the East Timor situation, when the East Timor independence movement was first of all ignored by Australia, then suddenly we sent troops over there, and then of course the Bali bombing in 2002, where we basically sent our police over there and effectively took over the crime scene, and contradicted the Indonesians about what was going on, and then pressed for the so-called conspirators to be executed.
But I mean, it's like the Yellow Peril all over again, in a way. I mean, you know, the Yellow Peril never went away, in a way, so to speak. But,
we are just running to the end of the hour, Dan. Unfortunately, look, it's important just to understand that there is always an undercurrent, and we'll be doing another in-depth show on Chappelle Corby soon. I do encourage anyone listening to send us a message, any stories you want to cover, anything you'd like us to cover, particularly things within Australia. We're always eager to have that. And check out our website if you haven't been to the website, truthnews.com.au. And have a look at us on Facebook. We're on Facebook too. It's been great talking to you today. I'm Hereward Fenton. And I'll be back next week. See you then.